Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening, and thanks for being with us again on a wonderful Thursday evening. My guest tonight is a master dowser. Susan Collins is from Canada. We actually met a couple of years ago at an American Society of Dowsers convention that I was speaking at. And I've been wanting to add dowsing to the conversation on the Farkas Files for a while, so I'm excited to have her on the show. And we'll talk to her in a few minutes, but first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And again, as we often do, I'm thinking about walkabout. And this time, not just my walkabout, but my daughter's walkabout. My daughter is a senior in high school. And tonight was parents' night at the high school, so got to speak to several of her teachers. And one of them is her dance teacher at high school. And the school has this very special program called the Dance Theater Ensemble, where the kids learn to choreograph. And my daughter has also had an opportunity to learn choreography at a camp that she goes to, Bucks Rock Camp. So the teacher that does the dance ensemble, is someone I actually knew before. She was a high school teacher. I've been in this town for decades. And she really knows my daughter. And she said, you know, she does something very special. And at this point, my daughter is getting ready to go to college, and she's not talking about taking a dance program. She's not talking about being at a school that has a dance ensemble. But I've been thinking about how dance, in so many ways, created who she is. She's been dancing since she was 5 years old. And it was clear in that first performance that she loved being on stage, and that she was the one that everybody else kind of followed because she was on top of what was supposed to be happening. And one of the things that she learned from all those years and years and years of dance class is how to observe, then practice what she observed, and make it her own. Learn how to do it, and learn how to do it correctly. And that's an extremely powerful experience. It's the basis of all apprenticeship. And years later, I guess she was maybe 10 years old, we were working on a project together, and I was using power tools, and I'm a former shop teacher. I've taught lots of kids to use power tools, but I showed her how to use it twice. And the second time she used these two tools, she was perfect. She could just do it. And it was because of how she learned to apprentice and observe and do what she's been shown. She's really, really good at it. And I often think about how few people at this point, the way our culture is set up, really learn that kind of lesson, really learn how to be with somebody that understands completely how to do something, watch them practice, get corrected, and over time master it themselves. She's an amazing choreographer at 17. So what are the things, you know, and thinking of my apprenticeships, I had basically the same kind of experience several times in my life, but certainly with the healers that I studied with, frequently it didn't look like we were doing anything. It looked like we were hanging out, or it looked like my teacher was just giving me a hard time or asking him to drive him somewhere or something like that. But all along the way, there were things that I learned just by the challenges that were presented to me, what they asked me to do, and by hanging out and watching them and how they did things. So we now live in a world where everybody is walking around with a little electronic device. I know my cell phone is the fastest electronic device I own. It's faster than my desktop computer. It's faster than any of my laptops. And on 4G or Wi-Fi, it is amazingly fast. And I can do all kinds of incredible things, get information instantaneously. It's fun. And most of us walk around. I don't walk around looking at my phone. I think it's not only annoying, but dangerous. But how many people, I live in a college town, everybody is walking around looking down at their phone, not being a part of the world, not taking in what's going on around them, and certainly not watching the people around them that might have something to teach them, because everything is a distraction. Everything is over here, over there. Everything is part of an environment that's spread out all over the world, but really isn't your personal experience. It's all vicarious. So I encourage all of you to figure out the people in your life who's been your teacher, your master, that's apprenticed you, that you've learned from by hanging out, by being challenged to do things yourself. And think about who you would like to be your master teacher, who you would like to apprentice with, and what you would like to learn. Because that's a way of learning that we've sort of lost. And walkabout is about doing that kind of apprenticeship with yourself. But you can't do that. You can't do the walkabout yourself and go out into the world to find your own mastery until you've been an apprentice, until you've learned something in a very profound way. So it's going to be interesting watching my daughter go into the world on her bigger walkabout of going to college. And that's going to be part of my walkabout, letting her go. And also, I'm going to be moving at the same time that she's graduating. So it's going to be interesting. And that's tonight's kind of roundabout, rambling, metaphysical musing. And let's introduce our guest, Susan Collins, who is a master dowser with a dynamic global practice, works with people all over the world. Susan, you with us?
I'm supposed to be here.
Fantastic. We managed to overcome all the electronic glitches.
Yeah, we did.
So I know at this point you're a professional dowser. It's what you do for other people.
Yeah.
But I want two things, and I don't know which to start with. One is I'd like you to give kind of an introduction to what dowsing is, how it works, what it's like, and how it's useful. And then I want to hear your story, because you have a very profound story.
Well, I'd be happy to share that. And maybe I'll start with my story, if that's okay.
That's fine.
I had perfect health up until I was about 29, and then one day at 29, which was many years ago, I woke up and felt a little stiff. And the short story is I ended up with rheumatoid arthritis and spent the next 23 years or so crippled up. My hands were claws pretty much. I had trouble walking, and my whole life shut down. I had been in business and having a normal life, and just everything kind of ground to a halt. I went through the normal medical channels and the alternative channels that were available, and nothing really helped until I picked up a book from the library, and it talked about dowsing and talked about the earth energies. I guess I was desperate enough that I would try anything. I went through all the normal things and still no help, aside from surgery. And I was on prednisone, methotrexate, chloroquine, diclofenac all at the same time. And pretty much a mess. My immune system shut down, and I was gluten intolerant and intolerant to salicylates as well. So it was a huge wake-up call. We talk about the initiation and the call to the initiation. You were just talking about your daughter and what she's going through. And the idea of apprenticing, But what motivates us to become an apprentice and to start that journey? And for me, it was being basically just cut off, my health taken away from me, which motivated me to get on that personal journey. So I found this book in the library, Dowsing in Your Health, written by the former president of the British Society of Dowsers. And the book talked about earth energies and that if you were sleeping in a place that had non-beneficial earth energies, then that could make you sick. So, and also, it also gave a little page on how to cut a branch and make a fork stick and find water. So I picked up the book, and I cut a branch in my backyard and then walked across my backyard where my septic field was, and the branch moved in my hands. So that was my first indication that that I had sensitivity. So my like I was an apprentice to a book, and I think a lot of people end up learning these things out of books. Particularly with dowsing, it's not something they teach in school. There's, it's now more talked about, and thank goodness for the internet, I say, because now this information, a lot of the information that used to be hidden or hard to find, you can find now quickly. So I do stick up for the internet to a large extent.
I'm on it all the time. That was
I am too much also. Anyway, so I found out that the stick moved in my hand and then that there were these earth energies. So my definition of dowsing now is the detection and transformation of energy. So back in the old days, it was found, used to find water. And I think even in the Bible, there are references to Moses striking a rock with a stick, which you could easily interpret that as a way of finding water. certainly, people who live closer to the earth have no trouble finding water. As well, it was used in the 1600s to find tin. So it was always water and minerals. But it's nowadays with more open-mindedness, I think, that people use it for dowsing health issues. So I found out about earth energies, followed the instructions in the book, and found the Canadian Society of Dowsers, which is a national not-for-profit dowsing society up here in Canada. There's also the American Society of Dowsers in the States, the British Society in Britain, Australia, all over the world now. There are dowsing societies, which are easy to find. Just Google that. And sometimes it feels like you're all alone on this little path. You know, you're by yourself in a room with a pendulum. But I think it's important to come together in community and in these nonprofit societies where the people are so generous with the information that they share it. I'd also like to mention, just while I'm on that, that there's an online World Dowsing Summit going on right now, as we speak, that you can find the link to that, I think, on your website. Also, the link to that is on my website. Yes. My website's www.dowser.ca. It's the World Dowsing Summit, and it's a free online presentation by various speakers on different aspects of dowsing.
And many of the speakers are folks that I've met at conventions, and I've heard them speak, and they're master dowsers. Mm-hmm. They are definitely the cream of the crop.
Well, and it's fun that I kind of think this is the future. You know, although you said in your musing about the walkabout earlier how important it is to be in nature, to connect with the planet, to connect with Earth, and that we do tend to walk around with our noses in these little mobile devices. But if we can use the mobile devices in moderation and in conjunction with our own natural practice, it's really the best of both worlds.
And so far, I haven't seen an app for dowsing, so you really to learn.
There are. There are little apps.
There's a dowsing app?
Yes, it's actually called the dowsing app. So a plug to my friend out in Britain who's developed that. It's called the dowsing app. Really, it's just a mapping device. So professionally now, I go and find water or earth energies, and I can use my mobile phone and put a GPS mark down, and then see on a map where the well site is or where the earth energies are or the archaeological site or whatever.
Yep.
So anyway, that's fun.
You still have to be the one that's using your pendulum or whatever device you're using to find the location there.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting that, say, in the water aspect, so I'm finding wells using my rods and my pendulum. Hydrogeologists will also go in with charts and their scientific knowledge, and there's ground-penetrating radar and various scientific methods. But honestly, somebody with the sensitivity to the water can pinpoint the exact spot. So as opposed to saying, well, in this region, you know, you'll find water at an average depth, a dowser can go in and read the energies of the earth and the water and the various things that are going on and figure out where to douse. So there's it's a marvelous thing to be able to bring water to people.
Well, there was a study done, or the organization tried both dowsers and scientists. They were drilling wells in Africa in places mm-hmm. where they didn't have clean water.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried both dowsers and the scientists, and the dowsers took dramatically less time and were dramatically more accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And they eventually stopped using the hydrogeologists because they just weren't as accurate, and it was expensive and time-consuming.
Mm-hmm.
So there have been several studies where the dowsers clearly were more accurate for it.
And so, one of the speakers at the World Summit is Stephen Herbert, who is mm-hmm. Head of Water for Humanity at the American Society of Dowsers. And
yes.
He tells similar stories where he's in Africa, and the village people are digging with shovels in their hands at a mm-hmm. site that he's located. And he talks about, and he'll talk about this in this presentation, talks about like how heart-stopping it is almost to watch these people digging and then to find the water, and how satisfying
right.
that is.
Well, water is one of the things, but as I think about dowsing at this point, it's kind of being psychic for people that aren't psychic.
Yeah,
it allows you to ask the questions that you're looking for answers for,
mm-hmm.
But you don't have any obvious way to get the information.
Right.
And by using dowsing, you can ask those questions and get that kind of data without having an expanded or extended sense, which is all that being psychic is it's being able to tune into the same energy, but using an expansion of one of the physical senses.
Yep. Well, the dowsing tools are a biofeedback device that amplify what the body, mind, spirit already know. So I remember when I first showed my mother my pendulum, and she just said it was moving. She said, oh, you're moving your hand. And still sometimes people will say, well, you're moving it. The truth is, my subtle muscle movements are moving the pendulum, but it's an unconscious kind of reaction.
Right.
So the main thing, though, is to be accurate in your dowsing. So if one just picks up a pendulum is any object that moves. If you just pick up a pendulum and start playing around with it and asking questions without using any kind of protocol to zone into truth or accuracy, then it's kind of random questions, random answers.
Yep.
So if people treat it like a party trick, it is a party trick, and then the answers go back and forth. The pendulum will tend to give you the answer you expect or want unless you're detached from the outcome. So the whole thing is the brain training to detach yourself from the outcome of what the pendulum is giving you.
Right.
For myself, I use a dowsing protocol, which takes me into that place. I'd like to say that dowsing works best in a place of ignorance and apathy. You don't know the answer and you don't care. And that's a really hard brain place to get to because we get very excited with the answer. You know, we want the answer, or we don't want the answer. But if we're attached to the outcome, it's difficult to get at.
Right. I also think of dowsing as learning how to ask the right question.
Good point, yes.
It's a questioning technique.
That's
because you need to get the question down to something that can be answered yes or no, typically.
Yes.
Because it's a binary system, much like a computer. The only answers you can get are yes or no.
Well, I'll argue that point. You can get other answers besides that.
Yeah, you can get more nuanced than that.
Yeah, but you're right. It's very difficult to phrase a question in such a way that it isn't two questions. For example, if you're wondering what to have for dinner tonight, if you say, should I have chicken or beef, that is not a question that is going to, you can't answer that with a yes or no.
Right.
So you'd break it out into two parts. Should I have chicken tonight? Should I have beef tonight?
Right, right.
There
have been a number of pretty funny tests at the dowsing conventions mm-hmm. where they're trying to fool everybody and see who can get the answer, and it always gets down to I asked the wrong question. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, aside from the yes and no, a lot of us use plus minus charts or use ray charts, so that for example, for me, you know, testing the foods, because that was one of the things I had to do for myself early on. Apples, for example, if I douse, are apples beneficial to my health, eating apples beneficial to my health, I have a plus 10 to minus 10, it'll go to minus 4, so they're not going to be good for me. If I ask, show me the benefit of eating the apple if it's peeled, it'll go to about a plus 5. If I say, please show me the benefit of eating a peeled organic apple, it'll go to about a plus 8. So you can get relative degrees of goodness or badness.
Right. And just to give people a visual, the charts are pieces of paper with various kinds of diagrams on them with numbers, and some of them are set up as parts of a circle or a full circle, and some of them are charts. And instead of just asking the question and seeing if you get a yes or no, which is just the direction that the pendulum swings, you can swing it over the chart, and it will use the chart as a way to give you more detailed information.
Mm-hmm. Perfect description.
I try. Used to be a teacher.
Used to be a teacher. So you were talking also in your little prologue there about fast communication, and certainly dowsing gives you that fast communication as well.
Right.
That if you're on the fly, like sometimes if you're planning to do an investigation or a session, you spend time and you set up your question, you're very careful with it. But sometimes on the fly something happens and you need to make a snap decision, which way to go. You know, do I take this exit off the highway or the next one? So dowsing can assist with that as well. You know, which is the best way to get to where I'm going? It may not be in the route you think, because there may be an accident further ahead that you don't know about. But if it tells you to veer off to the right, then there's maybe some reason to go that way. And the pendulum can give you that kind of thing.
Well, I want to give your website again before we go to the break.
Okay.
It's dowser.ca, which is Canada, for those of us down here that are not used to that.
Yep.
I also want to give the phone number for people to call in if they would like to join the conversation and ask questions. The number is 248-809-3475. 248-809-3475. Give us a call. Join the conversation. So we have just a little time before the break here. When we come back, I want to get back to your experience of using dowsing to improve your health.
I'd be happy
because
to talk about
we set the stage, we didn't quite get to how it unfolded. In many ways, it's easier to think about finding an object or getting a yes or no answer on what you should eat or which way you should go than it is to think of it as a way to work through issues of healing.
Mm-hmm. And the point is, it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a miracle cure necessarily, although sometimes it can be. But it took me several years of going and going and practicing and doing it and concentrating. It took me several years to get here, but I got here, and it's certainly worth the journey. Dowsing was a big part of my journey.
Well, we'll be talking about that when we come back. Give the information again. We have just about another minute. Give the information again about the online dowsing conference that you have going.
It's called the Dowsing World Summit, and you can find that on my website as well. There's a link to it right from the front page. There's free online replays. Michelle Fitzgerald is on as a replay right now. Joey Korn is going to be speaking on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then I'm on Tuesday, David and Irina Cohen on Wednesday, Sandy Mack, who's the president of the ASD, on Thursday, Jean Slater coming up, and then the following week, Alana Moore from Australia, Stephen Herbert, who is the great water dowser from the ASD, and then Lynn McKenzie.
And the music is telling us we need to go to the break.
Alrighty.
So don't go nowhere. We're going to be right back here on the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Stay with us.
This week's episode, Rattlesnake at the Pond.
Oh, Johnny, skipping rocks at the pond sure is fun.
Hey, look, a moving stick.
That ain't a stick. That's a rattlesnake.
Sassy, we're in danger.
Good idea, Sassy. Go get Mr. Gunderson. You will in a second, but first you'd like to tell us something we may not know about animal shelters in the United States?
It's getting close, Sassy.
Approximately 8 million pets enter shelters each year? The majority of which are in shelters because of owner-related issues that the animals have no control over?
Sassy the rattlesnake! Save us, Sassy!
What, Sassy? You wish you were videotaping this? Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cat stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See? That's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Susan Collins, Master Dowser from Canada.
He's actually Madam Dowser or Mistress Dowser or something.
Yeah, you know, I've often said Mistress Dowser and gotten in a lot of trouble. So
yeah, I call myself a professional dowser.
There you go.
Because I take money for it, and that's what I do for my business.
Right.
So,
right. And obviously, you're busy, which...
Well, I'm very busy, yeah.
Yeah, which shows there's demand and results, which is the same thing I say about my work.
Right.
So, we were going to talk a little bit more about your personal story. And the challenge of arthritis and how dowsing helped you work that through.
Well, you know, it all happened so long ago that now I even find it hard to believe it actually happened. But it was 1989, and I just was progressively... 1982, sorry. That's how long ago it was. I tried everything to get rid of it. I thought maybe, you know, after the regular medical stuff didn't work and I had, you know, acupuncture and the stuff that was alternative medicines that were available at the time. And then I thought, well, maybe there's some emotional thing. So maybe I just have to have a completion ceremony or something. So at the 20-year mark, I said, okay, I'm done. You know, I made all these affirmations and had expectations, and tried what I knew how to do to finish it. But I did not. So really it was the dosing. So I came to dosing in about 1999, and it was a gradual process for me. First, as I described, finding out about earth energies. And when I found out that there are earth energies that if you sleep over them, they will make you sick, I went around my house and I found, sure enough, that these earth energies, naturally occurring earth energies, were basically through my house and also running through my refrigerator. So once I found them, like, well, what do I do now? Also, I was sensitive to environmental energies. These are things like EMFs, pollution, and food, and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a matter of learning to use the pendulum, which is basically, my first pendulum was just a necklace that I had. So I like to say there's no magic in the tools. Whatever you have that swings, that can be a pendulum. I had a pair of L rods. Sometimes they're called swing rods, but they're just like little sticks that swing around. And you can cut coat hangers into an L, an angle shape, and hold them in your hands. You can probably Google this, how to do it on a YouTube video. But you use the L rods to point to something. So I'd say, please point to a place in my house or on my property that is non-beneficial to me. So I'd march around and I would find, oh, there's a spot. Okay, there's a spot I can't go. I found in my living room there was only one chair I could sit in, and I had to walk a certain path along the edge of the room to get there.
Right.
So it was very restrictive. And I think, in a way, it was my call to service. Like, it was so bad. It's like, I can't live with this. So yeah, I did everything that I could to figure out what the problem was. So I found where the problems were and then laboriously figured out how to remediate the energies so that I could go and sit in my living room and eat the food that was in my refrigerator, and so that I could rest on a couch and not be more poisoned by non-beneficial energies as I went. So it was all very simply, starting first through the Canadian Society of Dowsers and my teachers there, finding yes and no with the pendulum, developing accuracy. And I went to a lot of the conferences, and that many teachers, and some of these teachers are in the World Summit, there are different ways of asking questions, and everybody has their own take on how best to go about it. You might, what I say to people, if you want to do this, simply put your hand on your heart and say something like, for the best and highest good, I want the truth, I want the truth. And then with the pendulum, show me yes, show me no, to ask a question. So I use a more complicated protocol, but basically you find the place in your heart that is pure love, and that might be the place where you feel the love of your children or the love of your pet or the love of nature. Put your hand on your heart. Say, I want the truth. And also, I can take the truth. Because what I found over the years is that the energies that we communicate with, and I do believe there are conscious energies that we communicate with from other dimensions, typically the energies that we are communicating with try to please us by giving us the answer we expect. So if you get an answer, you know, should I eat this chocolate cake? Is this chocolate cake healthy for me? This is what women like to ask, right? Maybe for guys, or should I buy the sports car? No, should I eat this chocolate cake? So those energies that love us, oh, she wants the chocolate cake. Let's tell her yes. And you get a yes, but it's not the truth. So one of the little things I added in there for my own accuracy, hand on the heart, I want the truth. I can handle the truth. And then you get this sometimes very tentative, no, don't eat the chocolate cake. Then I say thank you. So it's important then, once you start to develop that relationship, it's really integrating the mind-body-spirit system, the conscious, subconscious, superconscious systems. Once you start to develop that vocabulary of the biofeedback device, and this will be true for you, everybody's got their own kind of version of it, but once you find your own vocabulary and you start to trust it, it's important to begin to act on the answers that you get. Because if you get, you know, using that cake example, if you get, no, don't eat the chocolate cake, it's not good for you, and then you eat it, then you kind of short-circuit that whole system that you're trying to develop. So it's important not to dose for things that you know you're going to do anyway.
Right.
Or that are very emotionally charged. So one does not dose about personal illness or illness within the family. And I think in a lot of traditional cultures as well, also in medicine, I think, you don't operate on your family member because you know you're going to be emotionally involved. So finding community is really important. Even if it's just one friend or, you know, there's dosing groups and communities all over the place. You just find other like-minded people, and sometimes cooperatively you work on each other.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing you can do if you're just by yourself, you can put different answers on, say, file cards. Yes, no, maybe, don't ask, blank, something like that. You've got your question about the chocolate cake, let's say. And you write these things, you flip all the cards upside down, mess them around, and then you would take your pendulum and hold it over each card and say, or ask, pendulum, does this card have the most true answer for me at this time? And so that takes your conscious mind out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are all kinds of methods. And one of the things I loved at the conventions is you'd learn the most typically over lunch, where you'd be talking to someone and they would say, and then I did this, you know, very nonchalantly, and I go, no, stop.
Yeah.
This may be no big deal to you, but I've never heard that before, and I want to know all about it, because
that
seems like a key thing to know.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been several things that are part of my practice now constantly that were those kinds of things where you're hanging out with somebody that's a master of what they do, and to them it's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But
we don't know what we don't know.
Right. It's the,
and we don't know what we
first
know.
First time that you hear it, if you finally open up to, oh, there's a whole other thing over here that I don't know about.
Yeah.
And
else I noticed? That at those conferences, and you'll say that to the person who's just said it, and they'll look at you and say, I've been saying that for 10 years in every talk I've ever given. Where were you? So we hear it when we're ready to hear it.
Right. Right.
That's the other thing. Not to belittle your story or anything, but but when you're ready for the information, it does present itself in any
right.
old way.
And the answers are in the questions.
Yeah.
When I did my talks, we would typically intentionally establish a table at lunch after the talk so that everyone who had more and more questions that couldn't be answered during the formal session would be able to just sit and chat. And mm-hmm. those, in many cases, were where the best questions were asked.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the most interesting conversations because there'd be lots of people contributing.
Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that kind of brings up a point that there are very few places in society that you can talk about dosing openly without fear of criticism, or, you know, that's pretty weird, or people think, you know, you're doing bad things. But I think it's important just to be open and say, well, it's a natural ability that we all have. People talk about the sixth sense as if it's something unusual, but I think the sixth sense is just electromagnetic frequency detection. We are detectors and receivers of electrical information. And that with training, you can learn to recognize what that little vibration means. You know, people feel the hair stick up in the back of the neck, or, you know, you get a maybe a little sensation in your stomach or your throat or behind your eyes or something. With training, you can learn to recognize these as signals that, so that you can interact safely with the electromagnetic frequencies that's out there. And quantum physics now has also given us some explanations. Instead of it just the Olympics of woo-woo, as somebody once said. It's, this is quantum. It's quantum entanglement is one way to explain
it. Well,
and
it's also the basic principle in quantum physics and a lot of other points of view, including all the mystical traditions,
right.
is that everything is energy.
Yeah.
And that energy has in some way coded data in it and a way that you can access it.
Yep.
So being psychic is just being sensitive in some way with an extended physical sense to information in that energy. And dowsing is a way to do it using a simple biofeedback device
and a questioning technique. Yep, good question.
And my sense is that, 10,000 years ago, human beings were very tuned into all of this, and that was how you stayed alive.
Mm-hmm.
You had to know where the food was. You had to know where the danger was.
Mm-hmm.
You had to know where the safe places were.
Mm-hmm.
Where should I sleep? Where's the water?
Right, exactly. And the earth itself is carrying a current that as urban people, we have a hard time detecting the current because we're so inundated with the mobile devices and the Wi-Fi and all the rest of it. So getting out in nature every day is a really important thing, even lying down on the earth if you can.
Right.
Touching the earth.
And as new agey as it sounds, hugging trees.
Hugging trees, yeah.
Because they're very grounding, and it definitely pulls all of that scattered energy down into your feet and into the earth and lets you quiet down.
Now, if I can add a concept here, before you hug a tree, you should ask the tree's permission.
Yes.
In my belief system, everything has consciousness. So we as humans, animals, but I also believe that the trees, the plants, the minerals all have a form of consciousness. So on my travels, I interact with rocks, cliffs, down in Machu Picchu, at Stonehenge, various places. And before I touch the rock, I will ask permission. And if I forget to do that, when I touch it, I feel repelled by the rock. And then I remind us, may I approach and, integrate that which is appropriate to integrate. So I have a little talk with the rock before I touch it. And then it almost draws me in like a magnet.
And trees are interesting because you can actually get, besides the sense you might get or the psychic information you might get as a response, the leaves of trees will rustle in response to questions. So the wind is the voice of the trees, and I've had many, many things where an entire grove of trees will suddenly, out of nowhere, the wind kicks up in response to something I asked.
Some people also think that the presence of wind is the presence of spirit, and particularly native spirit.
That may well be. There was a tree that was planted to honor my father, where he had worked for several years. And I went to talk to the tree and tell them who my dad was. And I had somebody with me, which was a good thing, because what happened, even for me, was a little over the top. And the wind kicked up, changed direction, and blew the tree over so it bowed to us.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, it literally bent 90 degrees. It's a little sap.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, thank you.
We feel humble in the presence of this energy. And, we feel humble in the presence of energy that will interact with us and also that wants to support us. This is overwhelmingly what I found in all my interactions. The energy is there and wants to support us, and we simply have to ask. Have the consciousness
Absolutely.
To ask.
And actually, with street trees, with trees that have been planted in a configuration that people have decided on, rather than being seated in the forest as part of what nature does, typically are lonely.
Interesting.
People used to talk to trees. People used to talk to everything. And now it's considered crazy and nobody talks to the trees. So the first emotion that I feel from most isolated trees is, oh, thank you so much.
Thank you
nobody,
so much.
Yeah.
Because we can talk like this in public now, where, probably 10 years ago.
Well, we don't know what's going on in listeners' minds, but one of the things that I've always said about dowsing conventions is I'm not the strangest person in the room. There will always be somebody who, and the thing about dowsing conventions is people look like business people, farmers, cowboys. They don't look any at all new agey or...
Well,
in any way, particularly, no, there are a few. particularly strange, and they're doing absolutely incredibly profound work that they've been working on for decades.
Yep, and it's working. It's, you know, it's,
and they and getting incredible results.
Yeah,
and some of
I was going to say there are miraculous healings that do occur.
Yeah.
You know, we can use
and some of those people have some psychic intuitive abilities,
mm-hmm.
but many of them are doing it completely with a pendulum or some other device. And
mm-hmm. I don't even use the word psychic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even use that word. It's just like these are just natural abilities we all have. And then you see, no offense to the people who call themselves psychics, but they're very expensive. And mostly talking about romantic relationships and that kind of thing.
Well,
anyway,
yeah.
I guess I'm more on the farmer side, I guess.
Well, it's also the expectation, you know, that the word psychic is attached to the idea of doing a reading.
Yeah.
And there are all kinds of expectations of that, but it's that line between being able to get the information and being a healer who can do something with the information that benefits the person.
Yeah, it's the degree of selflessness, I think, that maybe is... we're going to get in trouble here with all the psychics, so I apologize in advance to all those. But just if you work from your heart, that is the main thing that I try to pass on to people, that we have a soul's purpose, we have a path, and typically the path is to be in service to others, to help them find their way. So when we douse selfishly, you know, for money for ourselves or for personal gain or power, that's a place that the technology doesn't work. So it works best in a place of need, not greed, as we say.
Right. Right.
But we love everybody, and we have no quarrel with anyone.
So just getting back to your story.
Okay.
Was the process mostly learning what to eliminate from your environment and your diet, and by making those changes, your body then was able to heal itself, or were there more specific kinds of things that you also were able to find out?
I think that's generally what happened. But eventually I got to the place, and this is how I maintain my health now, and I don't take any supplements, and I'm symptom-free, and I go and do Zumba a couple of times a week and all the rest of it. Now, with dowsing, I simply ask that my body, mind, spirit, have the energy around it on an ongoing basis that will automatically bring myself, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, energetic, that my body, mind, spirit will automatically have the energies I need to bring balance to my life so that I can do that which is necessary. So it's like a little prayer I say all the time, and it's deliberately a bit vague, but basically I ask for perfect healing so that I can go out and be in service to other people. So
mm-hmm.
I remember doing a session some years back. So along the way, you know, of... My strength returning, I started, the way I got out on the road then, teaching, was that I started hearing the speeches already in my head. So my health improved, and then I'm going to sleep at night, and I can hear these speeches, and I think, oh my goodness, I better have a class. Then I could hear the books, basically, and I've written a bunch of books that you can find on my website. So from my healing journey, I wrote a lot of books and started teaching. But it was all about heal my body so I can be in service, so I can go and share this information with other people, basically. So the secret to self-healing is to be in service. But I basically ask my body to synthesize that which is needed for perfect health. So
mm-hmm.
I don't take any supplements.
You know, it's one of the basic things you're saying is focusing on service and gratitude, but also focusing on the outcome that you're looking for, not what you're afraid of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Most people, when they have a serious illness, are mostly focused on their fear of the outcome that they don't want.
Well, you get what you think about. So if you
think about
the bad outcome, that's what you bring to yourself.
Right. Right. We live in a world where complaining is a competitive blood sport.
Oh, my goodness. And you know, the crazy thing is we all know this. Everybody listening to this knows this. Oh, yeah, I get what I think about. Oh, yeah, I create my reality. Oh, yeah, you know, I can have what I want. Yet when you, and I see this with some high-level people as well, that when they're in the dosing mode, they are that perfect being, but they don't necessarily integrate that in their normal life. So I think the challenge for us all at this point is to integrate the spiritual being, the dosing mastery, the energetic, interdimensional perfection that we are, to integrate that being with the day-to-day mom and dad being, you know, to integrate this into the family life where you go out and earn a living and walk down your street and have your neighbors. It's a very hard dichotomy to bring together. In the old days, you'd go and sit in a mountain by yourself and then you'd be enlightened. And I'd say that was actually easy, much easier to do than to try to take those principles and then go down to your local store and fight the crowds and lose your wallet and
well,
get dinged.
That's, yeah, that's exactly right. And yeah. The healers in the old ways typically were in an environment alone with other people doing what they were doing, yeah. Or like the shaman in a village, the village provided everything they needed,
yeah.
Their house,
yeah.
Their food, all the rest of it, so they could focus on taking care of the people.
Yeah.
And we're now trying to take on that role and at the same time just be another normal person with all the same things that we have to get done as family members. And
it's fun, though. I think it's very exciting.
It's an exciting time. And it's also extremely complicated, and we're doing something that has never been done on this planet before. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting time. Susan, we're almost done. Thank you so much for being on.
My pleasure. Thank you for the invitation.
What a great introduction to dowsing. And tell us again your website and the name of the dowsing conference that's going on.
My website, www.dowser.ca. And on the front page of that, you'll find a link to the Dowsing World Summit. And it's going on right now. There's some replay. It's free, which is amazing. Free to register and to listen live and for 72 hours after each presenter. Michelle Fitzgerald is live she's on a replay right now. Joey Korn on Saturday. It's the World Dowsing Summit. And it's a really excellent dowsing series.
It's an incredible opportunity for people. Mm-hmm. These are really master dowsers. I've heard almost every one of them speak at conferences, and I've learned something from every one of them. So I encourage you, if you're curious about dowsing, this is an incredible opportunity.
Yep. And I'm on Tuesday at 3 o'clock. Tuesday,
terrific.
October 9 is me.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Susan, again, thank you so much for being on
you.
The show.
My pleasure.
And if anyone is interested in more information about my work, you can find that at househealing.com. And on the contact page, you will cleverly find hiding there every kind of technology you can possibly want to get in touch with me, including my scheduling calendar. I do a 20-minute no obligation assessment and scan of what's going on, and we can see whether my work is appropriate for the issues that you want to deal with, whether that's a house that won't sell or physical healing or business problems or any number of other things. My guest next week, he says, looking at his calendar because his mind has slipped into dowsing state, is Jesse Keener, who's a naturopath living in Florida. And I met Jesse years and years ago when we both worked with a nutrition company. Jesse was on the scientific advisory board for the company, but she has gone into a different direction and is now channeling information from Mother Mary and Mary Magdalene, and has created a mystery school based on that work. And I am very excited to hear what has been coming through and what she has to say, besides the fact that she is a whole lot of fun. So, Until next week, next Thursday, please be with us again. This is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. And this is David Franklin Farkas, and I approve this message.